Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. For the first time, the U.S. has agreed to be part of an international effort to bring Iran to the table and convince Tehran its nuclear course is a road to disaster. President Bush.
You're seeing robust diplomacy. I believe this problem can be solved diplomatically, and I'm going to give it every effort to do so.
Six nations, including Russia and the U.S., have agreed to sign the carrot-and-stick proposal of incentives and punishments to get Iran's attention. CBS's Charles Wolfson at the State Department.
The Bush administration is making a change in its policy towards Iran, offering to join its European allies and negotiate directly with Iran. Senior State Department officials say first, however, Iran will have to fully and verifiably agree to end all its nuclear enrichment activities.
Iranian officials rejected the proposal, calling it propaganda and saying, in fact, they want their right to pursue nuclear technology recognized by the international community. The Marines say the car bomb exploded in Haditha, and when it did, they took up a defensive perimeter around the shattered vehicle, protecting the wounded inside. And they returned insurgent fire, which was poured down on them from nearby buildings. Women and children used as human shields by the insurgents in Iraq. Whether that's what happened, whether the Marines were correct in shooting back, are questions for the ongoing investigation. President Bush said today, let the chips fall. If laws were broken by U.S. Marines, there will be punishment. But he says it is still an if. Now there's a revised hurricane forecast from one of the leaders in the science.
Meet the new forecast, same as the old forecast. Dr. William Gray at Colorado State University says his team expects 17 named storms, 9 hurricanes, and 5 major hurricanes. The same thing he said last month. The long-term average is just under 10 named storms per year. Of course, in 2006, we saw a record 28.
CBS News correspondent Peter King. Experts say we are about halfway through a natural 20-year cycle of stronger storms. People are talking about pitcher Roger Clemens again because the Rockets decided to stay with the Houston Astros through the season with an occasional trip to the bank.
I'm not riding around in the back of a convertible waving the hat and selling tickets. They expect me to get on the field and win ball games.
But it isn't free. $13 million plus for the rest of the season, end of September, October. Right after September 11th, there were worries that people might not come back to Broadway. That and the prices were going up, too. Broadway broke the record last season. 12 million tickets, an increase of more than 4%, and tourists bought half of them. People came back to New York, all right, and when they visit, they want to see Broadway. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 74 points to close at 11,168. The Nasdaq was up 14 points. And oil prices, $71.29 a barrel, were down 74 cents. This is CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Denise.
Yes, someone just hit me.
Are you injured?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get emergency services coming out to your location.
If your airbags deploy, OnStar receives a signal and calls to check on you.
Sheriff's Office.
Hi, this is Denise from the emergency team of OnStar. I have a vehicle crash with airbag deployment. It's on County Highway 74. I'm going to conference you in.
Okay, are you injured?
I think I'm bleeding from the side of my face.
Did you hit another vehicle?
Another vehicle hit me.
Okay, I'll get somebody out.
No one offers more vehicles with the safety of OnStar than Chevy.
There's two state troopers pulling up now. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Choose a vehicle that could help save your life. Choose a Chevy with OnStar. Chevy, America's number one brand, America's number one value, offers 16 OnStar-equipped cars and trucks. Ford, Dodge, and Toyota don't have any. To learn more, visit OnStar.com.
Barbaro, the racehorse, will surely feel even better when he sees all the Get Well cards in the mail and the gifts and the blanket with his name on it, signed by the workers at Churchill Downs. There are 12 huge Get Well cards, each 6 feet tall. Someone's going to have to hold them up for him, though. He can't kneel these days so well to read the notes at the bottom of the card anymore. Taylor University officials thought 18-year-old Whitney Chirac of Gaylord, Michigan, was dead, killed in a crash April 22nd. Turns out she's been in a hospital all this time. Another student died in the crash, and their IDs were mixed up.
They look quite a bit alike. They both were kind of slight build and very attractive blonde young ladies, and so you can see that there is quite a resemblance.
Taylor University's Joyce Wood said they learned of the error when Whitney started to awaken from her coma. Laura Van Ryn's family was sitting with her, weeks of vigil. Wrong girl, wrong family.
One family is rejoicing and one family is mourning.
Harley Carnes, CBS News.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hello, Orkin Man.
Hi.
As a banker, I want to know if our financial institutions are safe from invaders.
Well, invaders attack the biggest investment most people make, their homes. Termites cause more damage than fires, earthquakes, and tornadoes put together.
Oh, no. How will this affect the markets?
Well, I would rate Orkin a buy. Orkin has been fighting invasions for over 100 years. We know how to control termites.
Protect your home. Protect your family. Orkin can help. Call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN for a free inspection.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., originating from our flagship station today, KRXA 540, in sunny Monterey, California. Fog along the coast, but the sun's breaking through. It is delightful. We've got a great show lined up for you today, talking about important issues, news and views that you can't get from other radio outlets. I'm proud to tell you that. Coming up on our program today, the return of Jeffrey Feldman. He studies framing and language at the website frameshopisopen.com. We're going to talk about the language of the Bush administration in recent weeks, particularly toward Iran, and the change in the language as evidenced by Condoleezza Rice, our Secretary of State's news conference this morning. Things are changing in the posture toward Iran. Also coming up today, Matthew Rothschild, editor of the Progressive magazine, will join us in our second hour. And he has a very interesting analysis of one of the graduation speeches given by President Bush that compares the current war on terrorism with the Cold War. And Matt Rothschild takes quite a bit of exception with those comparisons used by our president. Also on the show today, Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. She's going to update us on her sources' information regarding Iran. And an interesting story about the Patriot Act and librarians. We're going to single out some librarians for praise as they have valued our civil liberties and their identities just became known in the last week or so. Larissa has that coming up a little bit later. And in our free speech zone in the third hour of our program today, lots to talk about. We'll open up the phone lines for you, and we'll spend a few minutes with State Insurance Commissioner John Garamendi, who is under attack from the insurance industry, and it's kind of a payback thing. He'll tell us about it. He's a candidate for lieutenant governor in next Tuesday's primary election. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'd like to give out the phone number because your calls and comments are what makes this show work. And you're invited to join us whenever the urge strikes you. 831-899-5792 here on the Central Coast. Or you can call me toll-free from Eureka or wherever you happen to be listening. And that number is 1-888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. One more, my email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And you're welcome to drop me a note there 24/7. Our first guest today is Carl Canetta. He is co-director of the Project on Defense Alternatives. And prior to joining PDA, he was a research fellow at the Institute for Defense and Disarmament Studies, served for 3 years as the editor of their journal, and he has a long and distinguished resume that I won't read all of. Carl Canetta, welcome back to our program.
My pleasure to be here.
Nice to talk with you again. And first up, I wanted to ask you about the overall situation in Afghanistan as well as the unusual events over the weekend in Kabul. But first up, the national perspective of the U.S. and its ongoing minor occupation of Afghanistan. We only have about 15,000 troops there presently. But we installed a puppet government there with Hamid Karzai, and things have not been going very well lately.
Well, in the past few months, there has been quite an upsurge in violence, and it's an upward trend that, if we look back over all of 2005, it has been increasing. We've seen the number of suicide bombings, an innovation that was introduced, I believe, in the beginning of 2005. In recent months, it has quadrupled in its frequency, the use of improvised explosive devices, twice as high this year as last year. So overall, we see an increased insurgency there. I mean, it's true that this is the forgotten war with so much of a focus on Iraq. Though if we look in terms of the number of people we have there, which is about 20,000 soldiers presently, a few more than that, the intensity of violence against those troops, the casualties that they're suffering, are proportionally not so much less than what we see in Iraq. So this is a situation that, rather than resolving in the period of the past 4.5 years, is now resurging, and we may begin to think in terms of a two-front war.
And Carl Canetta, when you consider the information in the powerful book Cobra 2, which had a lot of inside sources from the Pentagon, that's General Bernie, I'm trying to remember his last name.
Trainer,
thank you,
yes.
And Michael Gordon from the New York Times. What they really laid out for us in that book is that Afghanistan was the model for what was supposed to happen in Iraq, which is a light force comes in, topple the government, we install people, and we get the hell out of there faster than who shot Bob. Only it didn't work that way in Iraq. And we really didn't finish the job in Afghanistan, and our hopes that it would gel under the Karzai government appear to be slipping.
Well, you know, there is a question of what was the principal objective in Afghanistan. We wanted to remove the Taliban from power. We wanted to prevent Al-Qaeda from having free reign in the country. But it's unclear that a principal objective was to move development and stability in the country post-war, to move that forward in a fast and reliable fashion. And that's reflected in the amount of money, the amount of troops, the amount of support that was poured into that country afterwards. It was, by international standards, far less than one might expect. So the question that comes to my mind is how important was stabilizing that country once we had removed the Taliban from power? What we do have is a fair degree of freedom for U.S. forces to pick and choose those that they care to engage in, to engage with, and in a sense, it's a free fire zone. On the side of stability and development, it's almost as though that would be a bonus. It would be nice if it could occur, but it's not foremost in our minds. Foremost is to retain that military freedom of action, and that's what we see there. Now, it's true that something along those lines we hoped would occur, the administration hoped would occur in Iraq, that there would be local allies who, if not entirely reliable, would not move into clear opposition to our presence in the country. But in fact, what's happened is that the allies that we've found have not been sufficiently strong to impose their own control. And in fact, we find ourselves in increasing opposition to some of those allies. The Shia government in Iraq, much more resistant to U.S. plans than the Karzai government in Afghanistan.
Indeed. Carl Canetta with us from the Project on Defense Alternatives here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Carl, this past weekend, there was an incident in Kabul, and we're getting more information out now, and the military's explanation is that a convoy was going through a crowded part of Kabul where there were a lot of cars on the streets. People were selling used cars. That's pretty common all over the world. And the story goes that one of the drivers of one of these big trucks was losing control, and so he used a planned maneuver, or something he'd been trained for, which was to drive into some parked cars in an effort to stop his truck. And apparently the truck continued to go out of control, and it bumped into a lot of cars, and it injured some people. And then there was a very bad reaction as the crowd started to riot, and our soldiers seemed to panic. What can you tell us, any new information about this incident?
I don't think that I have any details that are not already available in the press. One question that keeps on being raised is whether the troops, when threatened, actually fired into the crowd that had become hostile, or whether Afghan forces, either army or police forces, fired into the crowd. Something between 11 and 15 people, I think that's the current figure, were killed in the subsequent rioting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this type of incident, which can be superficially described as an accident, but it is also reflects a way of engaging in these societies, is not uncommon. It happens frequently inside of Iraq as well. We post warnings on the back of armored vehicles that say that if you get too close to us, you'll be fired upon. And those vehicles and those convoys will take aggressive action to avoid becoming stuck in traffic, which might involve pushing cars out of the way, driving up on sidewalks, and in cases like this, protecting themselves if they feel they're under threat. This, I think, is an effect of occupation.
Mm-hmm.
When you have this type of tension underlying an occupation,
right,
you're going to have this type of incident.
Carl, we got to take a quick break.
Sure.
We'll pick up there as we continue, and I also want to get your thoughts on the change in posture by the Bush government toward Iran that surfaced in a news conference with Condoleezza Rice today. That's coming up here next on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a call, a question, or a comment, we'll take your call. 831-899-5792 here on the Central Coast, or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your dentist listen to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creek plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
We all have dreams. And dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Mr. Collins is at the controls today, and so any problems you can blame on little old me. We continue with Carl Canetta. He is co-director of the Project on Defense Alternatives, and we've been talking a little bit about the incident in Kabul, Afghanistan last weekend. A riot broke out after a U.S. convoy apparently had an accident in a very crowded, bazaar-type area where used cars were being sold, and the populace did not react well. And, Carl, even if we take the most sympathetic interpretation of the military's sequence of events, what we're seeing is the problem of an ongoing occupation, and that trust wears thin after a very short period of time, and when accidents happen, people assume the worst.
I think that's correct, and it really also points to an underlying dynamic here, which suggests that this type of incident and a general level of violence there will increase in the near future. That really has to do with the opium trade. What we've done in Afghanistan is traded a base for Al-Qaeda for a nation that is now producing 80%, by some estimates as high as 90% of the world's supply of opium. And there have been efforts, seemingly successful in some provinces over the past year, to compel the eradication of that production. The problem problem is there's been insufficient substitution of positive economic activity for the farmers, and so they are being left destitute, and they are finding because of that a degree of alliance with former Taliban commanders and forces. As we press forward, attempting to control the opium problem there, what we are doing is forcing the population back into the arms of the Taliban. That trade also, though it funds many of the warlords that we allied with and brought back into power, it also funnels money into the Taliban, who impose taxes on the farmers, and that's part of the reason that they can draw more sophisticated weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So as we push forward with that, what we're going to see is that insurgency increasing in its activity and its connections with the local population.
Yeah. Carl, I want to turn next to the posture toward Iran, and I was pleasantly surprised by the comments of the Secretary of State this morning. We appear to be pulling back from brinksmanship and, at least for now, engaging or attempting to engage in some fruitful diplomacy.
What it tells us is that the overall strategy of isolating Iran and bringing Europe and other countries, including China and Russia, to a position where they are willing to support a tougher approach to Iran, that has failed. And in part it has failed because of the resistance of the administration to open up talks, which also to many Americans, a majority of Americans, seems to be the natural step to take when you have this type of disagreement. That at least you begin to talk. What the administration now has done is, as you're right, it has drawn back from short-term brinksmanship and said, well, we'll talk, but it is conditional. And what it's conditional on is that Iran ceases the activity of enrichment. But you see, this really goes to the heart of the problem. Iran was already in talks with the European Union. They, after a long period of time, concluded that, in fact, the talks would never move forward, that they would never get the type of concession that they wanted from the EU, and that the talks were simply serving as a way to more or less indefinitely stop Iran from enriching. So they were seeing this as actually the talks themselves, from their point of view, seemed to be a concession that they were giving without any recompense. What the United States now has done is said, well, we'll talk with you directly, but you must stop the enrichment.
Mm-hmm.
If we really wanted this to move forward in a productive way, there is a way to do it. It's pretty common in diplomatic practice, and that is both sides make temporary concessions. So the proper approach would be to say, let's have talks, and in the course of these talks, you stop enrichment and we lift sanctions. So both sides concede something temporarily,
mm-hmm.
and that is, and that's a quid pro quo.
And Carl, your sense for the reason in this change in posture, is it that they accepted that the other approach wasn't working? Were we induced by allies like the ones you mentioned, Russia and the European community, to change our posture? What do you think caused this?
The U.S. goal for Iran, the overarching U.S. goal, is regime change. We are not going to build a coalition for that if it seems as though we are not open to the possibility of a diplomatic solution. What we have found in attempting to pull together some sort of Security Council statement or mandate is that we could not pull all of the powers to a point of agreeing to open up the possibility for unilateral action. Let's recall how we approached the Iraq war. You still have some of the Security Council members who look back at the mandate that was produced prior to the war, and they insist that, by their interpretation, this was not a mandate to go to war, whereas the United States says, well, it was.
Yeah.
So they were very cautious this time. They refused to introduce language that would seemingly open the door to unilateral action. And this has disappointed the administration. They have moved now to a position of a seemingly more diplomatic approach. But, you know, in a sense, my reading is that as far as the administration is concerned, the only matter that's open to diplomacy and negotiation are the terms of Iran giving up what it wants.
I think you've put that very well, Carl, and I agree with you. Thanks for joining us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
My pleasure.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about specifics of the language used, including the word regime, in Condi Rice's statements earlier today. Jeffrey Feldman from FrameShopIsOpen.com will join us next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas. PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors
in Eastward. Our program's heard in Monterey, Eureka, Sacramento, and now Phoenix, Arizona, late at night.
47 dead beats living in the back street, north, east, west, south, all in the same house. Sitting in the back room, waiting for the big boom. I'm in the bedroom, waiting for my baby. She's so mean, I don't care. I love her eyes and her wild, wild hair. Down to the beat that we like best. Heading for the 90s, living in the wild, wild west.
And with that phony Texan in the White House, a lot of us feel like we're in the old days of the wild, wild west. The president finally acknowledged last week that some of his language was a little over the top when he said, bring him on, when he talked about capturing Osama dead or alive, and he hasn't been able to do either. And as we talk about language here, we draw on the expertise of Jeffrey Feldman, and he is the proprietor of a great website called frameshopisopen.com. Click carefully and avoid porn. Frameshopisopen.com. Jeffrey, how are you today?
I'm great, Peter.
Nice to talk with you again. Can I start off with a little quiz for you?
Of course, yes.
I have in front of me the text of Condoleezza Rice's comments that were broadcast earlier today, in which she modified our posture toward Iran. And in the first page of these remarks, it's about a minute and a half of her speaking time, there are seven references to the government in Tehran. And I'm just curious if you can guess how many of the references are the word regime and how many are the word government.
I'm going to go with seven, Peter.
Well, I'm sorry. It was 5-2.
5-2.
Yes. She started with regime, then switched to government, regime, government, regime, regime, regime. And, of course, when they talk about a, you know, freely constituted elected government as a regime, that is an important cue to the American people, isn't it?
It's an extremely important cue. And what's really amazing about the way that the Bush administration has been changing its course here is that they've been using this phrase, robust diplomacy, over and over again over the past few days. And they're using it in a way to signal to the public that they're no longer attempting to strong-arm Iran, that they're really trying to get them to come to the table. And yet it's remarkably similar, this rhetorical strategy that they're using, to the type of strategy that they used in the days prior to the war with Iraq. They're talking about putting hurdles in front of Iran, and yet it doesn't seem like they are sincerely interested in taking this route, but more interested in appeasing the poll numbers.
Yeah. And you describe here on your website, do you call it a blog or is it better than that?
Website.
Okay.
Although I do blog around the internet, it's more of a website. The pieces are much longer than a blog.
Right. What do you see as the true interpretation? You write, what is robust diplomacy anyway? Is it like robust coffee, full-bodied, rich-tasting diplomacy with deep flavor? So what exactly does robust mean? That's not wimpy or passive diplomacy. It's like we're arm wrestling and we're on steroids.
Exactly. I mean, it reminded me of that scene in Star Wars where Anakin Skywalker is flirting with another character, and he says that he was engaging in strong diplomacy, by which he meant diplomacy with a lightsaber. In other words, the concept of robust diplomacy has that strangely contradictory character in it, in which it seems to suggest that while they're interested in diplomacy, in fact, what's lurking behind their backs is a dagger that if Iran doesn't fall in line, then they are going to use force behind that call for diplomacy. And what's really amazing is that Condoleezza Rice is once again requiring that the people that they're inviting into diplomatic relationships satisfy the need of showing that they've established a negative. In other words, just like Iraq was asked to show that they didn't have weapons of mass destruction, Iran is again being asked to prove a negative, to show that all of their nuclear programs have ended. And so it's this incredibly vague way of engaging in diplomacy, what I call, I describe Condoleezza Rice as someone who lacks the quality of plain-spokenness that we often associate as an American virtue in dealing with the outside world, that she is incredibly vague in what it is she's saying, and it leaves Americans to conclude that while our government is talking using the words of diplomacy, in fact, they are moving closer and closer to something much more aggressive.
And doesn't our sense of robust diplomacy mean that while we're conceding a little bit of turf here and we're willing to have bilateral talks with the Iranians, the talks will be, we talk, you listen, you follow.
Exactly. What kind of a table is that they'll be sitting at? And, the Iranian government, I'm sure, completely understands the situation that they're getting into, and not, you know, having made some diplomatic mistakes on their own, but they must be feeling an incredible amount of pressure coming here from our government with these dual messages, whether or not that table that they're being invited to sit at is going to be a conversation or a lecture.
Yeah. And, of course, by saying that we're willing to engage in these talks but immediately imposing preconditions, we are sending a very mixed message to Tehran and also to the American people.
Exactly. I mean, the American people, I think, are almost universally concerned that we have an administration who's not, doesn't have a clear sense of where it's headed in this particular policy towards Iran. And rather than having someone out in front leading the diplomatic team who has the ability to speak very plainly, we are instead listening to Condi Rice talk out of both sides of her mouth, like you said, use words like regime instead in the place of government. And we are left to conclude that the government is moving, that our government is moving closer and closer to an aggressive position. I don't really believe that that is what President Bush wants to do. I know there's probably some people in his administration who would be comfortable moving more aggressively towards Iran, but I believe that President Bush is simply, he's losing a control a little bit of his ability to have a diplomat in place is actually both speaking to the American public and moving us towards a diplomatic solution.
I guess I have a slightly different take there on Bush's posture, Jeffrey, because to my reading of the situation, and of course I'm not there at the meetings in the White House, I freely concede that, it appears that he and his inner circle are truly hawkish toward Iran, and that it was the six or seven retired generals who spoke up and demanded Rumsfeld's resignation, who I thought were firing a proverbial shot across the bow, saying, these people are ready to launch another war against a much more worthy opponent.
Yeah, that's a good point. Obviously, I'm not in the meetings either. But it's a very interesting point that you make, whether or not Bush himself is ultimately gung-ho in favor of opening up a second front. I mean, he said all along that he is a war president. Whether or not that means that he is a two wars at the same time president is an open question. But it does seem that he's been deeply, deeply affected by these dropping poll numbers such that he wants to send this strong message to the American public that even a war president can be a diplomacy president.
Yeah. Jeffrey Feldman with us from FrameShopIsOpen.com, and we're joined by Dave from Humboldt. Good afternoon, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter and Jeffrey, as I put it together right now, it is the intent of this administration with their use of language at all times to deceive, to keep us misinformed, to attack their opposition. It's all a very calculated use of words. Their purpose is totally ignoble. That is my conclusion. I listened to Condoleezza in her few speeches that seemed. I listened to her once talking to the troops over in Iraq, and she's making the point, always remember, they took this war to us. We did not bring this war to them. You know, Iraq attacked us on 9/11. She's trying to convince them of that. I remember her testimony before the 9/11 Commission. We would have moved mountains if we thought for a minute that planes could be used as a weapon. It is to nonstop deceit. The swift boat liars for truth there.
Well, Dave, I wish I had a lot of ammo to disagree with you on. I do think that it's interesting, though, if you step back and detach yourself a little bit from the import of what she's saying. She is a fairly disciplined user of rhetoric, and she often repeats herself as a way of staying on message. It can be a little frustrating to listen to her in an interview because she just says the same things over and over again. But, Jeffrey, would you agree that she's a fairly disciplined political speaker?
I think she's extremely disciplined, and it does seem in the past couple days that she has made a decision, whether or not that was by herself or not, to bring forward this message that diplomacy is something that they are interested in. I think what she's trying to do and what we're feeling in the way that she's speaking is that she's trying to walk a tightrope between this idea that she, you know, a hawkish position and this notion that we are a country that leads at the diplomatic table. But definitely very, very disciplined.
Mm-hmm. Dave, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, credibility. If you can fake that, you can do anything. That's what they're all about.
Thank you, Dave. Good to talk to you. The other thing that's interesting here, Jeffrey, in the positions, the modified positions staked out by Secretary Rice earlier today, there are some major moves, at least in terms of the chess game with the Iranians. Here's a quote. The Iranian people believe they have a right to civil nuclear energy. We acknowledge that right. Yet the international agreements Iran has signed make clear that Iran's exercise of that right must conform with its commitments. Now, this is interesting and notable in a number of ways, because it attempts to position the United States as acknowledging Iran's right, but then we take it back in the very next statement, the next sentence, by saying that they must conform with its commitments. And we do not require Israel or India, just to name two, to conform with their commitments under nuclear nonproliferation agreements.
Yeah, and it's a fascinating wire that she's attempting to walk in the speech. It seems as though, despite her political skills, that she is attempting to satisfy many audiences. On the one hand, there are the international diplomats that have seemed to have gotten to the Bush administration and really begged them to come back in some form to the negotiating table. On the other hand, there is the very hawkish base of the Republican Party that does not tolerate any form of diplomacy, anything less than an absolute aggressive position towards these Middle Eastern countries. So in contradicting herself from sentence to sentence in that speech that you just quoted for me, it seems that she is trying to speak to two audiences out of both sides of her mouth.
Indeed. We'll pick up there as we continue in just a moment with Jeffrey Feldman from FrameShopIsOpen.com. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540 here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The sea, it swells like a sore head, and the night it is aching.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ball game. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented him from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I'm
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about language, rhetoric, and framing with Jeffrey Feldman.
Don't believe me about you. Not a word.
And we'll dedicate that little Thin Lizzy song to Condoleezza Rice today. Jeffrey, I'm curious your reaction to the comments made in the primetime news conference last week. It seems that Tony Blair does have a bit of a positive effect on the president, or maybe it's the British reporters who he brings with him who ask questions that the Americans are too timid or just, not thinking of. And when a reporter asked the president to enumerate the missteps that he and Blair acknowledged without expanding on it in the body of their comments, the president curiously acknowledged that his language had been over the top and unhelpful, and he said that he's been trying to use more sophisticated language. Now, I thought that was a laugh line.
Yeah, when he says things like that, when the president speaks about becoming a more sophisticated speaker, he is speaking to the base of his supporters who see his they believe to be his simplistic way of talking about issues as a real positive virtue. And so it's his way of projecting out to the hardcore Republican base that he is really trying hard to lift himself up and not really lead from the heart, but to listen to the people around him and cultivate that expertise that a lot of his supporters are mistrustful of. And it's precisely in that environment where you have a British reporter who is confronting the president that it's really perfect for him to do that, because, in the press corps, the American press corps, a lot of the press, particularly in the presence of the president, not less so in the presence of the press secretary, are very reluctant to ask a confrontational question, but they also know that they're just going to get talking points thrown up in front of them.
Yeah, they've all got Jeff Gannon disease, apparently. And also in the same breath, the president, for the first time to my recollection, acknowledged the negatives of Abu Ghraib. He couldn't pronounce the name correctly, but it was the first time I recall hearing him even acknowledge what occurred there.
It is really interesting because to acknowledge that there are problems in this detention center, particularly, at a time when there's real mounting criticism, another very large report coming out calling for closing of all kinds of American detention centers, to acknowledge that is the president's way of admitting some mistakes, but again, it gives him an opportunity to reiterate his commitment to what he frames as this broader war on terror as really being the reason that we're over there in Iraq.
Well, whenever he does make these minor acknowledgments, he never details it. Nobody's ever fired. He never acknowledges that policies have been changed. Even though he glosses over it, he'll say mistakes were made in kind of a passive voice way and that we've made adjustments. But he never articulates that in a way that we can say, oh, okay, he's admitted that this, and this didn't work.
Yeah, it is interesting. And the follow-up after that press conference, I was expecting the mainstream media and the established media in this country really to fawn all over that admission. People were actually quite critical. They came back and they said, look, this was mouthing a certain acknowledgement that mistakes were made, but it really wasn't accepting responsibility. It seems that right now the press and the public are very aware that we have a leader who is sitting on top of a massive amount of mistakes in a certain policy and unwilling to accept that responsibility.
Yeah. To the phones we go. It's Ben in Salinas. Ben, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Jeffrey Feldman.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Contributing to a little language to the atmosphere here, Miss Condoleezza Rice, that so was terrible, terrible, these U.N. sanctions, as a reason to start World War III possibly. How come a few months ago, when we were cited by the Human Rights Commission of the United Nations for violation of human rights at Guantanamo Bay, and we could blow that off, but that's not important. Those are only innocent people. 500 people there were. Look at the fight just to get those people's names.
Well, and just another sidebar here, Ben. About 6 weeks ago, it was announced that we were shipping a bunch of the people home from Gitmo. At least 150 of them have been retained there, and there's been no explanation.
Well, yeah.
There was a very tortured, if you'll pardon the choice of my words there, explanation given earlier that we didn't want to send them home because it was for their own safety.
Well, what I feel is going on there, I think the Guantanamo Bay is the new School of the Americas, where these torture and these kind of tactics are indeed developed by people that think like Cheney and Rumsfeld. They don't mind seeing helpless, weak people die and torture every unspeakable death. That's the kind of people I think they are. But we got to remember, we keep the focus on the ball here. They're building these concentration camps here on American soil. Now, if they're going to be run by Guantanamo Bay, they will find a reason to put people in them. And guess what, people? We is us. So, Blinka, is that in our future? Are we going to be the damn Americans we're born to and fight for our damn country?
Well, I think that's a powerful question, and you're not at all off base there, Ben.
Thank you, sir.
We are building, we have been maintaining, and America is focused on American Idol. And that's a sad commentary on our times. Jeffrey Feldman, you have another item posted here at frameshopisopen.com that I wanted to focus on next, and that is some prescriptives for progressives. And I share the pain that I assume provoked these comments. I have seen one Democratic leader after another use the language of the Bush administration, use the phrase war on terror, to articulate viewpoints that are contrasting with the Bush administration, but by using their language, the contrast is lost, and the framing, at least implicitly, supports the underlying thinking of the terminology being used. And focus on war on terror, because I find that to be such a misbegotten, misleading phrase.
Yeah, the phrase war on terror is one that progressives have been, in many ways, trying to get around now for years. It's really this broad concept inside which an incredible amount of Bush administration policies and justifications for wrongdoings have been lumped all together. And it's so powerful because it's a way of talking about danger that we face in the United States and a way of talking about leadership. If anybody so much as questions one of the policies of the Bush administration, they're very quick to pull out the notion that that the critics are not concerned about protecting the American public and they lack leadership. I think it's important to see that there are underlying issues in the war on terror as a first step towards moving on.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is Hans Down, the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented us from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
After decades, a U.S. offer of direct talks with Iran.
As soon as Iran fully and verifiably suspends its enrichment and reprocessing activities.
Did Marines kill innocents in Iraq?
I am troubled by the initial news stories.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration today changed its policy on Iran. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice offered to join the European Union in direct talks with the Tehran government if it agrees to stop enriching uranium. She coupled the offer with a warning.
We are agreed with our European partners on the essential elements of a package containing both benefits if Iran makes the right choice and costs if it does not.
Initial reaction from Tehran is less than enthusiastic. The official government news agency calls the U.S. offer a propaganda move. A member of parliament said talks over Iran's nuclear program must be held without preconditions. Now this.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
When other ways of getting to sleep don't work, there's something you should know. Tylenol PM relieves pain and sleeplessness with the pure pain relief of Tylenol and a sleep aid that's safe and non-habit forming when used as directed. So it will help when other ways can't. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM.
President Bush made his first public comment today on allegations that last November U.S. Marines killed innocent civilians in Iraq. He said he's troubled and a thorough investigation is underway.
If in fact the laws were broken, there will be punishment.
CBS News correspondent David Martin reports pictures taken by the Marines themselves leave no doubt that women, children, and unarmed men were shot dead.
As pieced together by investigators, the Marine patrol was hit by a roadside bomb. One Marine was killed and two wounded. The Marines ordered an approaching taxi to stop, suspecting it had played a role in the bombing. When four men got out, the sergeant in charge dropped to one knee and fired. It is not clear if he gave orders to kill or simply set an example, but other Marines opened fire and then cleared nearby houses. It went on for 5 hours, and part of it was captured on video by another Marine unit in the area.
Today, American troops shot and killed two Iraqi women, one of them about to give birth, when the car they were in ran a checkpoint. In northern Baghdad, Iraqi troops battled insurgents while a mortar attack in the southern Dora district claimed 9 lives. At the U.S. military hospital in Landstuhl, Germany, CBS News Vice President Linda Mason visited correspondent Kimberly Dozier today, and even though she's sedated, Dozier responded.
You could tell she was getting excited. She has a breathing tube. She was trying to pull it out to talk. Don't talk, Kimberly. And the monitors all went crazy, and they asked us to leave after about 5 minutes. But that was a good sign. That was really exciting.
Dozier remains in critical condition, but 2 days after a bomb in Iraq nearly killed her, the doctors say she's stable and responding to treatment. The weather's warm, but the beginning of the hurricane season tomorrow sends a chill up spines on the Gulf Coast.
I'm Dave Cohen in New Orleans, a city almost completely below sea level. In fact, this region, southeast Louisiana, much of it below sea level. And scientists say it's slowly sinking. Officials have seen that as a major problem when designing hurricane evacuation routes and having to elevate roadways they thought were safe, but later found had sunk further and needed to be raised to stay out of the water so people could get out safely.
A new study finds New Orleans is sinking faster than experts believed.
Particular areas, the sinking has been rather profound, over an inch per year.
LSU professor Roy Daca, the lead author of the study, says very low-lying areas of New Orleans should not be rebuilt. Lance Armstrong has been cleared. Dutch investigators found no evidence that he won the Tour de France in 1999 with performance-enhancing drugs.
This is a hard sporting event, and hard work wins it.
Today's report slams the World Anti-Doping Agency's testing procedures and calls for an investigation. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Welcome back to Inside D.C. I am Kim Davis, and we're talking politics with James on his car phone.
Kim, I just missed a right turn back there. Now, can I take a right at this light?
Well, I have been accused of leaning to the right.
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Kim.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
The theft of veterans' records.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, originating today from Monterey and the studios of our flagship station, KRXA 540. great to be here on the Central Coast today. We're also live on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, and our program's heard on KSAC 1240 Talk City in Sacramento and 1480 KPHX in Phoenix. It's growing, and that makes me feel good. As always, my lines are open to you, and if you want to add a comment or ask a question, you're invited to do so while the First Amendment is still in full effect and subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency. Hello, Benny. He's our personal minder over there, Benny. My lines are at 831-899-5792, a local call on the Central Coast. That's 899-KRXA. Or you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. The email's available to you, too. Either Peter or Humble Host or Big Mouth, any of those names at peterbcollins.com. It will reach me. Coming up a little bit later this hour, the weekly visit from Larissa Alexandrovna, our investigative reporter from rawstory.com. We're going to talk about two things, Iran, which she's been focused on for the last few months, and also the Patriot Act and some heroes at a library in Connecticut. She'll detail that for us coming up a little bit later this hour. Joining me now is Matthew Rothschild from the comfort of Madison, Wisconsin, where he edits the Progressive magazine and also the website at progressive.org. And he does a little radio, too. Hi, Matthew.
Hey, Peter. Nice to have you on, and nice for you to have me on again.
Matthew has a weekly radio show that comes out of the Progressive and does a daily radio commentary, too. And he's pretty good at it, actually. Matthew, before we get started, I just have to remind you that we have passed the second anniversary of your prediction that Donald Rumsfeld's resignation would be accepted by the president.
Oh, you're killing me now.
I say that not to embarrass you, only to say that you were right a long time ago, and eventually events will catch up with us.
I don't know. I've stopped betting on anyone getting held responsible for all the bad things they've done in this Bush administration. It seems to me, the only way I interpret it anyway, is this is the second term of the Cheney administration, or the Cheney-Rumsfeld administration, and Bush is just a figurehead.
He's the front for the cabal.
No doubt about that. I mean, Cheney has been calling the shots from day one.
Yeah.
Since the time he searched the country for the most able person to run as vice president, and looked in the mirror and said, I'm the fairest of them all.
All I got to do is re-register in Wyoming and everything will be okay.
Oh, what's a little factual constitutional problem when it comes to running the country?
You published a piece on Common Dreams, and it appeared on a few other websites over the last few days, commenting on the president's choice of words, the speech that he gave at the West Point graduation this year. And as I explained to you before we went on the air, we just spent half an hour with Jeffrey Feldman talking about the language choices of Bush and Rice and others, and how, despite the president's verbal gaffes and his obvious weakness in terms of communication skills, that he is often very effective in remaining disciplined and staying on message, even if his syntax gets mangled in the process.
Right, and people, you know, on our side anyway, make hay out of the fact or the suggestion that Bush isn't the smartest guy in the world, and, you know, he's kind of a bumbler, but you know, the people behind him have a lot of smarts, and Bush may be not as stupid as he suggests anyway. But his speechwriters, first of all, they're better craftsmen than Clinton's were. But you can really analyze their propaganda by going to whitehouse.gov, and I would recommend to your listeners that many of them do that if they have the time. And that's what I did on Saturday when I saw that Bush was giving a speech at West Point. I waited a couple hours and went to whitehouse.gov to download it. And it really is amazing the kind of propaganda and rhetoric that this man has been using and used on that day, because all that they've been doing really since 9/11 is trying to scare us. And they keep at it. That's what they were doing. That's what he was doing at West Point.
And let me lift a couple of lines here.
Sure.
To,
I mean, it's an amazing speech. It really is.
At West Point's graduation ceremony, President Bush gave a none-too-subtle hint that the United States will be waging war in the Middle East for years and years to come, and not just in Iraq. So long, this is a quote, so long as the Middle East remains a place where freedom does not flourish, it will remain a place where terrorists foment resentment and threaten American security, he said. He added a few sentences later, the message has spread from Damascus to Tehran that the future belongs to freedom, and we will not rest until the promise of liberty reaches every people and every nation. Now, talk a little bit about the language that he chose here and the way he is describing the predicament that he has created.
Well, it's interesting because, first of all, spread from Damascus to Tehran isn't that big of a spread, actually. There's only one country in between, and that's Iraq. And Iraq has been delivered of the gift of freedom by George W. Bush. And it's interesting because I've been going to all these speeches. When he talks about getting the promise or the gift of freedom or liberty, he oftentimes in his Iraq speeches would add the following. This isn't our gift to deliver, but it's the gift of God Almighty.
Right.
So he really believes that he's God's little UPS man here. And so he's going to give the promise of liberty to the people in Syria and Iran. Well, that, you know how he delivers the gift, though? It's not by UPS truck. It's by bomb and gunpoint. And this was really, for people who've been reading his rhetoric, this is his signal that he's serious about toppling the government of Syria and the government of Iran. And, you know, I think people overemphasize how weak Bush is and then conclude from his weakness in the polls that, oh, there's no possible way that this guy would go wage another war or attack another country. Well, you know, just because it would be crazy doesn't mean he's not going to do it.
Yeah. And Matthew, I'm a little bit momentarily influenced by Greg Palast's new book. I just finished reading that. We talked to Greg the other day. And I want to tie together what he reported in there, which I found stunning. The takeaway from the book is that the war in Iraq was about oil, but it was about keeping Iraq's oil in the ground so that all the rest of the oil in the world is worth more. And also to try to come up with a way to play ball with OPEC without actually dismantling it. So if you look at that analysis from Palast, and then you look at the way this president always uses the word freedom, well, what I hear there is freedom for corporations to exploit markets and resources worldwide with as little regulation as possible. Isn't that the real freedom he's talking about?
Well, it sure is. I mean, you know, he's delivering the gift of freedom to the people of Iraq. He hasn't delivered it to the 100,000 Iraqi civilians who've died, certainly, all the casualties. He doesn't seem to count the casualties. He says he's liberated 25 million people in Iraq. He views himself as the great liberator, quite modestly. But you're right. I mean, the reason, one of the huge underlying reasons for the U.S. being in Iraq is oil. And anyone who denies that hasn't been paying attention. The Cheney Report in the spring of 2001, months before 9/11, fantasized about U.S. corporations having access to those oil fields in Iraq. And so, you know, 9/11 and Afghanistan was a detour from this invasion of Iraq, which was largely for oil. It was also partly for some bizarre Oedipal complex that Bush has and outdoing his dad and going all the way to Baghdad. It was because of the neocons' ideology, but fundamentally it was about oil. Not just about the price of oil, but the control of oil, as you were suggesting, and also in a geopolitical way to tell China that, look, your economy may be booming at 18% a year, but you need the oil from Iraq and from Iran, and we're going to knock this one government over. We may knock the next one over, and so we're going to be able to turn the faucet off on your oil pipeline.
Matthew Rothschild, a toss-up question here. Which phrase offends you more, homeland security or war on terror?
You know, war on terror. The homeland security bothers me just because it, you know, this whole notion of homeland, fatherland has bad echoes of Nazi Germany.
Indeed.
But the war on terror is such a bad term, such a false term, such a misleading term. And Bush used the word war more than three dozen times in this West Point speech, so it gives you an idea where he was going.
Well, he's a war president.
That's the only reason why he thinks he was put in the Oval Office by God, evidently. But look at what it's not a war in a conventional term. First of all, it wasn't declared by Congress. Secondly, it's not a war on a specific government or even a specific group. It's a war on a technique, terror.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be able to ever win that war. He says he's going to fight this war on terror until there's complete victory. There's no way you can have complete victory over a technique, and there's really no way you're going to have complete victory even over Islamic terrorism. And so that helps him, though. It helps him in a way to inculcate fear. Yep. And the more fear that we have, the more people are going to be willing to surrender their rights to the president, to the father figure who says he'll protect us. And no, those weak-kneed Democrats can't protect you. Only I can protect you, or whoever the next, you know, Republican down the line is who can protect us. This is a game. And in this West Point speech, the really disgusting thing about this speech was Bush was making the war on terror, was making the enemy terrorists more scary the American public than Nazi Germany or Joe Stalin and the Soviet Union.
Well, we'll pick up there as we continue with Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive. If you have a question or comment, you can join us 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or call me toll free at 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
KRXA 540 with a look at your traffic this afternoon, and our superstars on duty, Amy Knight.
Thanks so much, Peter. Most of our problems in South County this afternoon. In San Martin, New Avenue at Church Avenue, you'll find an injury accident with a motorcycle that struck a fence. Emergency crews on scene. Not far away, and Gilroy Bolsa at Bloomfield Avenue, a two-car crash. This looks like it's a head-on collision. Crews are there on scene, but you'll find tow trucks on the way to clear out this crash. Otherwise, in Santa Cruz, northbound 1 at Emmeline Street, Caltrans doing some tree trimming till 6. The off-ramp is closed, and signs are posted in the area. TomTom is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back in about a half an hour. What do you say?
Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast and oozing inland. I'm glad you're listening. And we got a bunch of people listening online. I can see by our streaming computer here right now. So if you're listening on your computer, feel free to join the conversation on our toll-free line at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. We continue with Matthew Rothschild of The Progressive. You can read his work at progressive.org. And the column we're talking about was also published at commondreams.org over the last few days. We're talking about President Bush's comments at the West Point graduation last week. And I could tell that the thing that offended you most deeply, Matthew, was this comparison with the Cold War and with Russia, or the Soviet Union, as it was known at the time, as a major armed force in the world with very nefarious intentions.
Bush all along, Peter, has been trying since 9/11 to make the American public feel like this is the scariest time ever to be an American citizen, that we're more threatened now than ever before. And it's a hard case to make, because after all, the Nazis could have conquered this country. The Soviet Union, any time after about 1952, could have flung a nuclear missile over and attacked us. And then at the middle of the Cold War, they could have incinerated this country many times over. And there's no way that Al-Qaeda can do that. Al-Qaeda is not going to destroy the United States. Osama bin Laden is not going to march from a cave in Afghanistan and conquer Washington. That's not possible. This is a much lower threat than the United States faced during the Cold War or during Nazi Germany. And yet he wants to hype it. And so he hyped it in this speech. He said, you know, what if the terrorists get a nuclear weapon? He said, then they would pose a threat to America as great as the Soviet Union. But what's he talking about? The Soviet Union had thousands of nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them on intercontinental ballistic missiles. Terrorists don't have a weapon and they don't have an intercontinental ballistic missile. You know, the idea that Osama bin Laden is Joseph Stalin is just a gigantic distortion.
And you summarize it with a one-sentence paragraph that's very powerful. This is fear-mongering of the most grotesque sort. Very well put, Matthew. We're joined now by Jennifer in Del Norte County. Good afternoon, Jennifer. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Matthew Rothschild.
Hi there, and thanks so much for having me. I just love you guys.
Oh, Jennifer, gosh, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I think you're a first-time caller.
I am.
But when people thank me for taking their call, I find it annoying. I'm delighted you called. I'm glad you're listening. You made my day.
Thank you.
You don't have to thank me.
Well, listen, I thank us all. I mean, we're all in this together. You know, here's my question. I don't know if there's an answer, but I'm the chair of the little Del Norte County Democrats, but I know this is a problem across the state and I suspect across the country, and that is, how do we get the progressives under one tent with one voice? I know that there are millions of us out here that are not falling for the propaganda. We're not afraid. We're not scared. But still, we seem to be just impotent in our efforts to affect change against this entire administration.
It is very difficult. Matthew, you want to take a crack at it?
Well, Jennifer, to me, the two most important things we need to do are to end this Iraq war and to call for the impeachment and lobby for the impeachment of President Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, because unless we stop this war, there's going to be more needless killing. But unless we get Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld impeached, our whole constitutional system is going to be in jeopardy. Those things, to me, are more important than everyone getting within one tent and going for this Democrat or that Democrat.
Right, and I wasn't so much meaning one Democrat or the other, but I'm saying as a, you know, I tend to know a lot of Democrats and progressives, but how we come together to make that happen. I know I was at the California Democratic Convention a few weeks ago, and the first point of business that Willie Brown addressed, and there was not one opposing vote, and that was to add the impeachment officially to the California platform,
mm-hmm.
Democratic Party. You know, now what?
Well,
now what do we do?
Jennifer, we've got some real problems inside the Democratic Party, and they're captive to consultants who tell them to play it safe. They're looking at the Republicans really, you know, fighting one another and losing their momentum. And there is once again this hope that I think propelled many Democrats in 2004 that all we have to do is be there on election day and the Republicans will self-destruct. Well, I'm sorry. That is not about to happen. And, you know, we have primaries in California next week. There's a challenger to Pombo. Full disclosure, I'm a consultant to that race. There's serious challenge to John Doolittle in the 4th Congressional District. Marcy Winograd has won an amazing grassroots endorsement over Jane Harman in, I think it's District 39 or so in Southern California. We have the successor to Duke Cunningham. That race will be decided next week. And so there are some glimmers of hope. And at the same time, the party leadership, Nancy Pelosi, who I know and like and support, is saying, oh, you know, we won't move directly for impeachment. Well, I can understand the politics of her statements, but to deny Democrats the incentive of winning back control of the House in order to hold these people accountable in some way, shape, or form, I think is misguided.
I'd like to just leave you with this one more thought. When I was at convention, I ran into so many people like myself, because I am now, when I never thought I would, running for public office. I'm running for the clerk, recorder, voter, registrar of this county.
Uh-huh.
I met so many people within the Democratic Party that for the first time in their life have felt absolutely compelled to run for public office, whether it's to win, whether it's to put up a race against an unchallenged incumbent Republican, whatever the reason. So there's so much inspiration out there for all of us, but there's so much apathy when you actually are here on the ground. So
yeah. Jennifer,
I'll get off now, but
Jennifer, don't get off yet. Tell us your last name so that our 5 listeners in Del Norte County can vote for you.
They know who I am. It's Jennifer Fenslick, proud chair of the Del Norte County Democrats and candidate for clerk, recorder, voter, registrar.
Thank you, Jennifer. Great to talk with you.
Guys.
Call
Rock
me again and just
Rock
don't thank
on
me.
June 6th.
Matthew, about 30 seconds. Your final comment here?
Well, I think Jennifer's onto something. There's real exciting that I feel when I travel around the country, both with Democrats who are challenging rightward elected officials, and also in this effort to stop the war, in this effort for impeachment, which is important not only because of the principle of it. I think that's most important. But for those people who only speak tactics, it's a way to mobilize the base. And if we don't demand it now, we're not going to get it even later. So I'd urge people in California to pressure Nancy Pelosi on this impeachment issue.
Indeed. Thank you, Matthew. Keep it progressive. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
All right. Good to have you on the program today. Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna. We'll talk about some brave librarians challenging the Patriot Act and Iran here on The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters, this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. We'll ask, can loving intention change your life? Our guests are Dr. Brenda Wade and Marcia Jaffe, wildly successful women who will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Brenda will tell us how intention infused her new book, Power Choices, and about her television appearances on PBS this month. Her love-centered approach to transformation is also what our show is about. Marcia's vacation to Bali created her intention to do something special, and she launched the Quest for Global Healing conferences there. As Oprah says, ask yourself, what is my truest intention? When it's right, your entire body will feel it. Can loving intention change your life? Find out this Saturday at 3 on Talking Matters.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Infiniti M35, a snazzy four-door sedan with impressive engineering. powered by a fuel-injected 3.5-liter six-cylinder engine with a five-speed automatic and optional sport shift, it's ready to sprint on command. My demo has all the luxury accessories, notably the electronics, which have their own manual. I love the smart cruise control. It slows you down to match the traffic in front of you. The M35 has a new gizmo called Lane Departure Warning, which beeps when you start to leave your lane. When it helps, you like it. When it doesn't, it's annoying. The M35 has low clearance and rear-wheel drive, so it didn't do well on our grueling hill climb test. By the numbers, the 2006 Infiniti M35 gets 18 miles in the city, 25 on the highway, and stickers in California for $48,000. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio. Join me this Saturday evening, 6 to 7, where you never know what's going to happen because we're real. We have interesting guests like a survivor of the 1958 nuclear bomb test at Ground Zero, a former career drug dealer gone straight, or you can just shoot the breeze with Kate and me.
Sheila, may I say something?
No, not now. I promise you'll never be bored.
But Sheila,
we're number one reality radio. Each Saturday evening, 6 to 7, with me, Sheila Gale.
And Kate, me.
On AM 540 KRXA.
There are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman. The damage that this administration has done in just 5 years is mind-boggling.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
As a bit of a student of history, I don't think that we have ever had an administration that has done so much harm to the United States of America as this administration, as the Bush administration, to our reputation abroad, to our body politic at home. I mean, it is absolutely mind-boggling.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540, the new Radio Free America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up at the top of next hour, we'll spend a few minutes with State Insurance Commissioner John Garamendi. He's under attack in his campaign for Lieutenant Governor, and we'll talk about it. And the Free Speech Zone next hour, too, with loads of your phone calls. I think the Patriot Act has a lot of dirty deeds built into it. One of them is the pernicious measure that requires libraries to disclose information to the government on presentation not of a warrant, but just a little old letter. And I want to single out four great Americans who happen to be librarians. Barbara Bailey, Peter Chase, George Christian, and Jan Nocek. And to explain all this is Larissa Alexandrovna, the investigative journalist from RawStory.com. Hey, Larissa.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay today. I'm in beautiful Monterey, and it's just a fabulous day.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I just named these individuals who you discovered and actually have been able to identify for the first time. They were John Does who have been struggling to preserve our privacy rights in this country.
Right. They're four librarians. Actually, they're board members of a Connecticut library system called Library Connection, which is a cooperative organization, a not-for-profit, of 26 Connecticut library branches that share a centralized computer system.
Mm.
And in, In August of last year, they were presented with a national security letter, which... And we don't know what's in this letter, what they were asked for. They're not allowed to discuss that still.
Mm-hmm.
But they were presented with this letter, and essentially the FBI wanted access to what we don't know. And they thought that this was unconstitutional, I think we can all agree, because there was no warrant and there was no suspicion of any wrongdoing.
It's that damn probable cause thing that's in the Fourth Amendment.
No, it's not even probable cause.
Right.
You don't need a reason. That's the problem with this this piece of law, legislation. So they went to the ACLU, and the ACLU filed a suit on August 9th, and they had to file it under seal. The plaintiffs, the four that you named, had to be John Doe.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what's interesting. This isn't in my article, but this is what's interesting is two of the defendants, George Christian and Chase.
Peter Chase. Mm-hmm.
Their names were leaked out. So they couldn't discuss the case or that they were the plaintiffs, but their names were leaked so that people in the community knew that these guys were served with a national security letter.
Hmm.
But they couldn't explain why or anything of that nature. They couldn't defend themselves if people, you know, were suspecting or asking them questions. Well, why would you be served and what's going on? They couldn't explain it. In any case, it wasn't them per se. It was the library, and they're on the board of that organization, Library Connection. As part of the nature of the national security letter, the person or people or organization who receives it is gagged permanently. And on September 9th of last year, a federal judge said this was unconstitutional and lifted the gag.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened next is fascinating. The defendants in the case are Alberto Gonzalez, our attorney general, Director Mueller of the FBI, and one other unnamed FBI official, essentially the government in the case.
Right. The regime.
Right. They appealed. They continued to appeal the gag order until after the debate over the reauthorization of the Patriot Act, at which point they dropped their appeals.
Hmm.
And the Patriot Act was reauthorized. And during that whole debate, whether or not the Patriot Act should be reauthorized, Alberto Gonzalez and other members, and especially this wonderful thing he wrote for the Washington Post, which I included in my article, claimed that no cases, no incidents of civil liberty violations, you know, have been reported. There were
In the 4 years of the Patriot Act's
right,
existence.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty sweeping denial.
Right. And John Ashcroft also, I might add, said in 2003 that they'd never searched any libraries or requested library documents when, mm-hmm. in fact, an 02 study, a survey of various libraries, found that 85 were approached.
Well, and let's look for the wiggle word in the Gonzalez statement here. I've got your quote in front of me.
Right.
There have been no verified civil liberties abuses in the 4 years of the Patriot Act's existence. The wiggle word is verified.
I know. I understand, and I saw that. But here's the problem with that. The judge had already ruled. So I would think that is verified.
Yep.
what's interesting is that these librarians wanted to testify in front of Congress. They wanted to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't allowed. And this argument being made that, well, there were no civil liberties violated, there was no instances of abuse, the Department of Justice issued 6 reports, I believe.
Right.
And then the big number they gave is zero cases of such activities. And all this time, there are people gagged sitting there knowing that not to be the case.
Well, then Alberto Gonzalez must have issued a signing statement after he made this statement.
I think Alberto Gonzalez needs to be impeached, if you want my opinion. I think this is outrageous that they gagged these people from presenting evidence to Congress that may have made a difference in terms of this legislation.
And let me just remind us that the debate over the Patriot Act was extended. They were hoping to finalize it before the Christmas holidays.
Right.
Bush pushed very hard for that. And inconveniently, the New York Times decided to publish James Risen's articles about the NSA eavesdropping program. And that caused a kerfuffle on Capitol Hill. And they simply extended the Patriot Act, for 90 days? And then debate continued, nothing really happened, and they all voted for it anyway. But during that period of time, from roughly Christmas to the end of February or March, The testimony of these now identified individuals, Bailey, Chase, Christian, and Nocek, could have been very useful, particularly to Democrats like Senator Durbin from Illinois, who were pressing the issue about library searches in particular.
Right. And mind you, they're not the only ones. They're just the only ones who are now allowed to name themselves. As far as we know, there could be, you know, a number of these types of cases. They say that there are. They're aware of certain other people who are gagged. So this is very troubling. But what I think is even if you, aside from all of this being troubling, consider that the government leaked the name. Let me say allegedly the government. Mm-hmm. I don't know who leaked it.
Okay.
The name, the names of Christian and Chase to the public. Without any context, in other words, they're not told that these two people did not themselves receive a letter, rather that the library did, and as since they were on the board, then they're the ones who filed suit.
Well, everybody knows they were going to build a dirty book bomb.
But what I'm saying is, could you imagine the position that puts those two individuals in and their families when the public knows they've been served with a letter, but not why? Or, you know, what the surrounding context is, and they can't elaborate or explain or defend themselves.
And you quote this statement from one of the four individuals, Jan Nocek. There are other people who've been served with these letters. We
right.
hope by our testimony that more people are aware of this and people are able to speak out. And then a quote from Ann Beeson of the ACLU, lead attorney. Our clients were gagged by the government at a time when Congress needed to hear their voices the most.
Right.
This administration has repeatedly shown that it will hide behind the cloak of national security to silence its critics, cover up embarrassing facts. Every time the government invokes national security in defense of secrecy, as they've done most recently with NSA wiretapping, the American public should remember these four librarians.
Right. And I might add also that the press conference held via the ACLU, where these four spoke, many mainstream journalists attended, and this morning the only news item on this I saw was from the AP, which was roughly two paragraphs.
Yeah, I haven't seen. You've got the exclusive here so far, as I can tell.
Well, it shouldn't be an exclusive, and I didn't mark it as an exclusive because I thought, you know, we'd be all going out together. That I would be one of many. I did request a private discussion with the foursome, which I got.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, you know, I don't know if other reporters.
But you know, Larissa, I come across this all the time with great people like you. You just don't have the right perspective. The big story is that they haven't found Jimmy Hoffa's body.
Oh, that's right.
Nothing else could be important right now.
Right.
It's sad. No, this is a very significant story, and it as you point out, leads us to many more cases that are presumably out there. You cite in your article a University of Illinois survey conducted way back in 2002, you referenced
right.
this a minute ago, that out of 1,000 libraries that were asked, 85 said that they had been asked by law enforcement for patrons' records. Now, the number's probably higher because many of those institutions probably honored the gag order and said, oh, I can't respond to this letter. So
they honored the access.
Yeah. And you also point out that ABC News quoted an assistant attorney general that in, let's see, 9,254 national security letters were issued in 2005 regarding 3,501 people, presumably Americans.
Well, I mean, again, and this is the problem. You on one hand, you've got these snippets of information. On the other hand, you have them saying, no, there's zero. And I don't know if the actual figure is somewhere in between or if it's higher. And when they're issuing national security letters, are they issuing them as to an organization as a blanket? So when he says individuals, is he speaking? Well, okay, these are the individuals, but we're not counting the, for example, the organizations. If we issue requests with MasterCard or something of that nature,
right,
for their entire database.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just don't know because we're not privy to what's in these letters, and the people who get them can't discuss them.
And libraries are not the only institutions subject to this. The Patriot Act expanded the definition of a financial institution to
uh-huh.
include essentially anybody who you give money to, whether it's, you know, through a debit card or automatic deductions or what have you. And these institutions are subject to the same rules and bound by the same gag provisions. In other words, they can go to the company that holds the lease on your car. They can go to a bank that you have your mortgage with. They can access your records. And those people cannot tell their clients that they cooperated with the government in doing so.
Well, moreover, if, let's say, they targeted an individual at a home location, there was a case in Florida that the ACLU took, and that person receives a letter, then their neighbors receive a letter saying that they can't discuss anything that they witnessed, for example, that there were any police officers there, the house was searched, something of that nature. So essentially, you're silencing people, and then on top of that, if you add the TIPS, you know, the TIPS program where
mm-hmm.
your neighbors encourage to report any suspicious activity,
right.
I'm telling you, I'm back in the Soviet Union. I see no difference at this point.
Larissa, we're going to take a break and continue. I want to get your thoughts on the shift posed by Condoleezza Rice toward Iran today. And I want people to read this story about the librarians at rawstory.com. It's posted today. More of your calls. Well, we'll take your calls if you have one. You can join us at 831-899-5792 or call me toll-free at 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
No matter where you are in Monterey County, you deserve to be in a safe environment. Robert Owen, who is running for Monterey County Sheriff, has concern about the recent serious injuries sustained by inmates within the Monterey County Jail. Robert Owen is a dedicated, long-term employee of the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen has worked as a jail sergeant for over 26 years and has 31 years of service as a Monterey County Sheriff. Robert Owen is concerned about the retention of deputies in the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen is so concerned that he is running for Monterey County Sheriff and personally financing his campaign. He will not be obligated to any special interest groups.
This is Robert Owen, and I am asking for your vote for Monterey County Sheriff on June 6th.
Your vote matters. On June 6th, please vote Robert Owen, Monterey County Sheriff.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creeklands, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
KRXA 540 will look at your traffic this afternoon. Here's Amy Knight at Metro Traffic.
Well, it looks like we still have some problems to talk about. An accident clearing Monterey Dunes Way at Molera. It's an accident with a pickup truck that ran into a post in a nearby parking lot. Looks like highway patrol on the way to help. Also new at Church, you'll find an injury accident involving a motorcycle. And Bolsa at Bloomfield, a head-on collision still clearing there. Watch out for large pieces of linoleum in King City, North 101 after Canal Street, and North 1 at Emmeline Street. That off-ramp closed till 6 for tree trimming being done on the off-ramp. TomTom is reportable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back in half an hour.
Okay, great.
And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show right here. And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're talking with Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. And, hey, tomorrow on the program in our second hour, 4 p.m. Pacific, Tom Hayden will be joining us. He was one of the Chicago 7 defendants and served with some distinction in the legislature here in California. That's tomorrow here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Larissa, I flipped on the tube this morning and was surprised to see the Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, presenting a new spin on our policies toward Iran. And it's interesting because while there were some stipulations included, she indicated that the Bush administration is now prepared to engage in direct talks with Tehran. That's something that they have not been willing to do in the past. And she made an interesting statement. Of course, it was qualified. The Iranian people believe they have a right to civil nuclear energy. And she does say nuclear, not nuclear. I appreciate that. We acknowledge that right, yet the international agreements Iran has signed make clear that Iran's exercise of that right must conform with its commitments. So this is a begrudging acknowledgement of their right to generate power using nuclear facilities.
Well, I mean, the thing is that you've got Alberti, who's the head of the IAEA, saying there's no threat coming from Iran.
Right.
You've got literally the entire world saying You've got a lot of information coming out about Iraq pre-war intel, and you've got all these new revelations about misconduct in Iraq. Afghanistan is about to fall apart. There's a lot going on, and I think that, and this is just simply my own analysis, because my information hasn't changed, and the sources haven't in any way altered or augmented their or retracted their concerns.
And if I were to summarize that briefly, the preparations for imminent assault, either by air or missile, appear to be on track.
That would be correct.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen nothing and heard nothing that would in any way change. That hasn't changed.
Okay.
The point is, they have to make it look as though that they are attempting something. Now, remember, what they really want, what the outcome of this latest round is they're saying, if you don't do this, that is, if you don't suspend enrichment so that we can talk to you, we're going to the UN Council for a resolution. As soon as they get that resolution, they'll use it as a blanket. And that's the problem. That's what you have to watch for. The moment that happens, they're ready to go. Although the resolution will be in terms of sanctions and such, it does within itself allow military action if necessary. And that's what I'm seeing happening now, is that they're prepping the ground, because Iran is not going to say, well, yes, while we both agree we're entitled to do this, you're saying we're not in order for us to talk. I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah. And what it seems to be is that the U.S. is trying to grease the way at the United Nations by saying, look, we offered them this overture, this opening, and they didn't take it, and they continue on this path that we find troublesome. And then they'll try to win a resolution for sanctions plus enforcement rather than the two-stage effort that we never completed vis-a-vis Iraq.
Correct, right. And that's essentially what you're seeing here, is they're trying to find a way to approach the Security Council, because, you know, again, you've got the IAEA saying there's no threat here. And I don't think Britain's going to be going along on this unless there is something with the UN. So I think they're just setting up a straw man, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting up a situation that Iran can't possibly engage in, even though Iran themselves, they've attempted negotiations. They've attempted to meet all sorts of requirements, including accepting Israel. This was in 2003. They sent word to the State Department saying, look, we're willing to accept Israel as a state, we're willing to do all these various things, and we said no. And so I think it's quite clear that we're not really interested in negotiations,
And I think what we're pushing for, aiming for, is a resolution under the guise of sanctions, at which point, and remember, Iran has a very strong economy, and they're fairly self-sustained. I don't think sanctions are going to bother them, and certainly their friendship with China and Russia isn't going to end, so I think they'll have enough of what they need. So this whole blanket of we'll impose a package of sanctions is really just a cover in terms of allowing the resolution, the part of the resolution stipulation that you're allowed to use force in certain situations, in certain if there are certain provocations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're just setting up a kind of a straw man argument here. And it's pretty naked. I don't think. And although a lot of the papers, the foreign press, and certainly here, are reporting, this is a big turnabout. The reality is that most experts I've talked to see it as a naked, as naked as it is. It's really
and at least on a PR level, the U.S. appears to have backed off from its brinksmanship for the moment. But I understand your point that this is posturing. This is for public consumption. And the contingency plans for an attack have not been altered. And the ultimate goal of the United States is nakedly evident in the remarks of the secretary this morning.
Well,
because I took a look at the transcript, just briefly, Larissa. The word regime shows up as the primary reference to the elected government in Tehran.
Right.
On the first page here, the word regime is used 7 times to refer to the government in Tehran. The word government is only used twice. And that emphasis to me is very clear that this is a regime, and the American people know that when you got a regime, well, the next step is regime change.
Right. Well, there's really something else going on here that I've recently noticed, and that is the president has now very publicly said if Israel is attacked, we will defend them. And I've never, and I don't know if you have, but I've never heard a U.S. president make that kind of claim, that kind of statement. I mean, it's something that's understood. It's something.
Right. I've never heard it explicit that way.
Exactly. So, and this sort of stepping back from the WMD argument, sort of having it in there slightly, but really pulling back on the rhetoric, gives me a lot of concern in terms of a possible incident that would then allow the U.S. to defend Israel.
Right, because we're good guys now, at least we put on a white hat.
Right.
And if we can provoke an attack, the kind that Bush speculated with Blair about that he wanted to launch Iraq with.
Right.
We paint a plane with UN colors and shoot it down and blame it on them. So
right.
your suspicions, I think, are well-founded there, and we're going to have to watch carefully. Thank you very much, Larissa. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
Larissa Alexandrovna, read all about her at rawstory.com. Coming up next, we open up the Free Speech Zone, and Insurance Commissioner John Garamendi will join us briefly here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichorn, owner of Eichorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this New Year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The U.S. agrees to join 5 other nations to give Iran a chance to change its nuclear course.
I believe it's very important that we solve this issue diplomatically, and my decision today says that the United States is going to take a leadership position in solving this issue.
Iranian officials publicly labeled the announcement propaganda, but U.S. Ambassador John Bolton has had a private briefing with Iranian Ambassador Javad Zarif. Two sides to the Haditha story. U.S. Marines saying they returned fire poured on them after a car bombing by insurgents, then gave chase into buildings where the gunfire emanated. They say women and children were used by the insurgents as human shields. CBS News correspondent David Martin.
The killing of two dozen Iraqi civilians in Haditha is more than a murder case, more than a shadow over the Marine Corps. Haditha could alter the very course of the war. Pentagon officials say photos taken by the Marines themselves leave no doubt women, children, and unarmed men were shot to death, some of them as they lay in bed, others as they were kneeling.
Who did the killing and how is part of the investigation. So is the question, would terrorist car bombers hesitate to kill more of their own people? CBS News correspondent Kimberly Dozier is in the U.S. hospital in Landstuhl, Germany, after the roadside car bomb that killed her two news crewmen a couple of days ago. CBS News Senior Vice President Linda Mason checked in on Kimberly again today.
Because she's sedated, she drifts in and out and recognizes people and then forgets and recognizes and forgets. But the feeling is, yes, that she knows that people are there who love her, her family, and she gains strength from that.
Her doctors remain cautiously optimistic. The stolen veterans information story only gets worse. Now we're told the information included not just names, birth dates, and social security numbers, but phone numbers, addresses, and health information, too, in many of those cases. Beth Givens at Privacy Rights Clearinghouse, a consumer group.
I think if you're a vet, given these latest findings, you should basically not even bother asking the question, was my information compromised or not? I think you should assume that you need to take some preventive action.
Again, whoever stole the discs may not know what the diagnostic health codes mean, but maybe they do. Lance Armstrong was clean in 1999. An independent Dutch investigation into alleged doping says anti-doping authorities ought to be investigated themselves for misconduct and ethical and legal violations, and sanctions ought to be ordered. The upshot of the report is Lance Armstrong is what he appeared to be, a phenomenon, one of the greatest athletes ever, who won the Tour de France an unprecedented 7 times.
Vive la Tour, forever. Thank you.
No one is expected to break his record anytime soon. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 74 points today to close at 11,168, the Nasdaq up 14, oil prices $71.29 a barrel, down 74 cents. This is CBS News.
How hard can it be? You put up a sign, you just wait for the offers to roll in. It becomes a second job.
Getting the house appraised and the comps.
The money that you think you're going to save, you end up losing.
I've bought and sold homes before, and now the first thing I do is call a realtor.
Realtors have the experience to price your home so it can sell for up to 16% more than selling it yourself.
Using a realtor is a smart financial decision.
Get the facts straight about selling your own home. Talk to an agent and be sure to ask if that agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
It's way too risky to sell your house on your own.
My dad said the bed bugs were gone, but they were hiding in my mattress.
My dad set traps for all the ants, but they like our breakfast cereal better.
My daddy is a hunter, but he's not very good at hunting the mouse in our house.
Some problems are better left to professionals. Visit PestWorld.org today to find a qualified pest professional to protect your home and family.
I think termites are smarter than my dad.
The state of Kentucky wants closed-door hearings into the recent coal mine explosion. Families of dead coal miners are livid.
The Kentucky Mine Safety Agency wants employees of the Darby Mine No. 1 to be candid. That's the reason given for barring family members of the 5 men killed in an explosion at the mine a week and a half ago from attending closed-door hearings.
Families have been given the opportunity to submit questions to us. And we've also asked them if they have information to please submit that to us as well. So they're participating in the interview process via submitting questions to us.
Mark York is a spokesman for Kentucky's Mine Safety Agency. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Hardee's Hamburgers has found a new condiment for its famous thick burger. More meat. Now they'll put Philly cheesesteak on the burger. 930 calories, 63 grams of fat. Sales are up nearly 6% in the trial, though whether that sandwich will stick or not, aside from to your ribs, isn't clear. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
When other ways of getting to sleep don't work, there's something you should know. Tylenol PM relieves pain and sleeplessness with the pure pain relief of Tylenol and a sleep aid that's safe and non-habit forming when used as directed. So it will help when other ways can't. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on into our third and final hour today. I'm your humble host, Peter B., and this is the hour we set aside for your calls and comments. We call it the Free Speech Zone. We'll be going to your calls here shortly, so if there's something you'd like to say, call us up and say it. On the Central Coast, you can call me at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. I'm at the studios of our flagship station, KRXA, in Monterey today. If you're listening in Eureka, Sacramento, or Phoenix, you can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. You dial 1 and then 3-8-579-2540. And I see we got a lot of listeners online, too. I'm looking at the stream right now. You can call into or you can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And before we get started with your calls, I wanted to catch up with State Insurance Commissioner John Garamendi. He's on the ballot this coming Tuesday in the Democratic primary for Lieutenant Governor. And as he discussed with us on the program recently, there was a threat made by key members of the insurance community, the insurance industry that he currently regulates, for a little pushback and payback. And essentially they threatened that if he didn't cave in and let the next insurance commissioner finalize the details of a revision in our auto insurance policies, that they were going to lower the boom with a $2.4 million negative television advertising campaign. John Garamendi, welcome to the program today.
Peter B., it's always a pleasure to be with you.
And did the insurers pull the trigger on their threat?
Oh, yeah. They started about 10 days ago. They're dumping $2.5 million in print, mailers, advertising in newspapers and TV, and I think some radio in various places. You know, they carried out their threat. When I told them to take a hike, and there was no way I was going to be extorted, blackmailed, or bribed by their offer, they decided they needed to go ahead and hammer it. But the bottom line of it is they want me to disobey the law, not only break the law by accepting a bribe, but disobeying the law. The people of California in 1988 voted that how you drive safely ought to be more important than where you live. And that's exactly what I'm doing. The insurance industry doesn't like it because it somehow it's going to hurt their profits, they think.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a major war underway here. And, somebody dumping $2.5 million in the 3 weeks up to the election, hey, that, you know, it hurts, no doubt about it. But I think the people understand.
Yeah.
Who do you trust here?
Well,
the insurance companies? Come on.
Well, and right now, I don't know what it's like at your house, John, but the mail this week has been relentless, an avalanche of really slick four-color brochures that kind of disguise the slime a little bit. But where I vote, there's a race for an open seat for the assembly, and I've already made my choice, but I'm really feeling a sense of sympathy for one of the candidates who is just being attacked unfairly and relentlessly. And I honestly, when I see that kind of thing, I react by wanting to do the opposite of what the money slime people are trying to manipulate me into doing.
Well, in this case, if they were telling the truth, you'd say, okay, but their whole campaign is based on false information. Studies that were done 3 years ago, or two to three years ago, are not based on what we actually put out in our new rules that will implement Proposition 103, now some 17, 18 years later. So anyway, we're doing it. We're telling the public that these guys are more interested in their profits than they are in paying their bills, and that's why they've all wound up with some of the biggest fines in history. And we're talking about the big boys here. We're talking about State Farm, Allstate, Farmers, 21st Century, and Safeco, which incidentally, your ad that just preceded coming on the air, those five big ones happen to be the five most expensive in the state of California. And they're also homeowners. insurance providers as well as auto. And on their homeowners' rates, they are ripping off the public. I'm going to begin hearings in early July to go after the extraordinary profits that these companies are making on their homeowners' insurance. The end result is homeowners' insurance rates in California are coming down because the loss ratio, that's the percentage of the claims that actually go, the percentage of the premium, the percentage of the premium that actually goes to pay for claims is down in the 30 and 40% range, meaning they got 60% plus their investment income. And that's unconscionable. They know that I'm coming after them, and maybe this is what this campaign is all about.
Yeah. John Garamendi, on a couple of notes there. First of all, I didn't notice the insurance commercial that played. It was a network commercial, so it wasn't anything that we get a benefit from. They're not placing commercials on our station. Number two, when it comes to homeowners insurance, over the last few years, I've pretty well learned that I don't make a claim unless it's really going to burn me, because a small or medium-sized claim that I could absorb is going to inevitably cause them to raise my rates.
Well, this is the use-it-and-lose-it syndrome, and I believe that's one of the factors why they're making so much money, is that people are scared to death to file a claim unless it's a huge, serious problem. They know that if they file a claim for, you know, water damage in the kitchen, they are likely to lose their policy. I tried to get the legislature to stop this practice, but they refuse. They listen to the insurance industry rather than to their own constituents who are really being harmed, just as you said. We'll see. Yeah. We're going to go after this thing, and they're going to have to explain why they're only paying 30 to 40% of the premium dollar in claims. And I think one of the reasons is this use-it-and-lose-it business. Now, over in the auto side, the same thing. When my rules go into effect, the insurance industry in the summer, this coming summer, will have to come before the Department of Insurance and justify all of their auto insurance rates. And this goes beyond just the issue of how safely you drive and the zip code issue. It goes to, and this is what they're scared to death of, is that they don't want to have to come before the California Department of Insurance and this commissioner and justify their auto insurance rates. So this is going to be a big summer. We're going to go after homeowners' rates, and we're going to go after auto insurance rates. And the industry is very, very unhappy about it, and I suspect that's why they're seeking revenge and going out with this negative ad campaign.
And, John, as I'm listening to this, it redoubles the support that I have for your candidacy for lieutenant governor. But there is one unintended consequence. You're underscoring that when you leave office as insurance commissioner, we may have a real deficit there, and we may have somebody in your chair whom the industry can manipulate.
Well, I hope that's not the case, and certainly no insurance commissioner, nor should any chair of any insurance committee in the legislature take money from the insurance companies. It's a real serious problem. I have not taken a dime from the insurance industry over the years that I have been commissioner, dating back to 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then a check comes in, we send it back. And that is the way you have to conduct this office.
And it must have been very tempting when you ran for governor against better-funded candidates. You could have compromised yourself, accepted some money from the industry you used to regulate, and hoped that would propel you forward. And to your credit, you didn't do that.
That's correct, and haven't done it since 1990. Now, it turns out that one of my opponents, who happens to be the chair of the Senate Insurance Committee, has taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from the very same companies that plead bills before her, and that'd be Jackie Speer. I think that's a conflict that shouldn't exist, and what we really need to do, Peter B., we need to go to public financing of campaigns.
Yep.
This money that's in all of these campaigns is the most expensive thing that the citizens of California can imagine, because it clearly directs where the public policy is going. The best investment the public can make is to finance campaigns publicly. It's done in Arizona. It makes a world of difference. In the early 80s, I carried bills for two separate sessions trying to get the legislature to accept public financing. Right now, it's called clean money.
Right.
And, boy, I'll tell you, we really need it, because I can see the problems in the race that I'm in for lieutenant governor. I can see it in all the other races. Well, anyway, that's not going to happen for this campaign, so we just keep going forward. In the meantime, these insurance companies need to be called on the carpet. They cannot be allowed to get away.
And are you going to take legal action?
Well, we've sent the complaint off to the Attorney General, to the FBI, and to the U.S. Attorney, saying this appears to me to be a flat-out bribe. When somebody comes to an appointed or an elected official and says, either do what we want, in this case, let the next commissioner finish these regulations, or else we will hit you with a $2.5 million campaign in the run-up to the election. Hey, the definition of bribery is pretty clear. It is illegal for anybody to offer or for an official to accept money, things of value, or things of advantage. Now, you tell me whether it's to my advantage to not have a negative campaign in the 3 weeks running up to the election. Of course it's to my advantage. Hopefully the FBI will get some search warrants in and go get some hard drives and take a look at the emails that are out there.
Well, John, I wish you the best on Tuesday. Thanks for standing up and fighting back. And I just hope that voters make the right decision on Tuesday, and I'm looking forward to the outcome.
I appreciate that. And Peter B., during the introductions, you were saying all these stations across the West Coast, you've expanded. Congratulations to you.
We're doing our part.
Thank you.
All right, John, good to talk to you. Now we head into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You know how it works. Light up a line for me. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. North Coast or elsewhere, call me toll free. 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. I'd like to hear your thoughts about next Tuesday's primary. Garamendi, Speer, or Figueroa for lieutenant governor? And who's your choice for governor, Wesley or Angelides? Share it with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover great plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. KRXA 540 checks your traffic now, and here's Amy Knight.
Traffic's getting a little better, Peter, but we still have some problems. In Aptos, southbound 1 at Stokehound Drive, you'll find a broken-down car partially blocking the right lane. Traffic a little sluggish as you approach that stall in the area. Also, northbound 1 at Emmeline Street in Santa Cruz, Caltrans doing some tree trimming. So just about 6 o'clock, the off-ramp closed and signs are posted in the area. Also, Monterey Dunes Way at Malera Road in Castroville, a pickup truck still clearing. It looks like it ran into a nearby post. And no new problems to report on Highway 101 through Salinas. Save up to 30% on the latest summer gear with REI's great gear deals going on now through June 1st. Visit one of REI's 8 Bay Area locations or shop REI.com. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Amy.
You're welcome.
And we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This is the Free Speech Zone. That means your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, and any viewpoint is welcome, too. You don't have to agree with your humble host or any sense of progressive orthodoxy to join the conversation here. Central Coast, I've got three lines open, 899-5792 and the 831 area code. That's 899-KRXA. And the toll-free circuit has a couple of lines available, too. That's at 1-888-579-2540. And whatever happened to Dennis in King City? Inquiring minds want to know. And first up this hour, Chris in Salinas joins us. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
Not bad.
Hey, I just had a... Yesterday I was listening to you and your choices that you were thinking of voting for against... Or for, I guess his name's John Kraft.
Yeah, he's
commissioner.
Yeah, because he's not Cruz Bustamante.
Well, I understand that, but he's also a consultant for the care insurance industry.
Yeah.
So I just want to point that out.
I may end up leaving that blank. Or maybe I'll write in Chris from Salinas.
There you go.
Or John Garamendi. As I was hearing him, you know, discuss those issues with such control and detailed knowledge, it really did make me think, gosh, why don't you run another term for insurance commissioner? We need you more there than in the empty office of lieutenant governor.
Yeah, I guess there's also some sort of an initiative that I just received some literature in the mail about calling Garamendi, trying to stop some insurance. I guess they want to redo the way they look at insurance, auto insurance.
Well, those are the hit pieces that he was describing.
Yeah, I haven't researched them yet, so I wasn't too sure.
Yeah, that's the game that they're playing,
really?
And you know the mailers and the other ads that they're running are basically critical of Garamendi, and they're trying to get people to respond in a negative manner to him as kind of, I guess, a training exercise for the election on Tuesday.
Yeah,
it seems a little bizarre and off base, but that's what appears to be going on.
Yeah, you know, just off the top of my head here, I was driving on my way home, and there's this big four-wheel drive truck in front of me. It had a big sticker on it that says, Sportsman for Bush. And I just had to shake my head, you know. I mean, here he is. He's going to try to sell off 300,000 acres of land, supposedly somewhere in the neighborhood, 75,000 acres here in California, 11 different forests that he wants to dismember.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I think I sent you an email, or I sent Matt an email on it. I wasn't sure if you guys researched that at all.
I haven't seen that one, but I'll ask Matt to take a look.
Yeah, it's,
and just remember,
scary.
That guy's paying the Bush tax every time he fills up that big pickup truck.
There you go.
Thank you,
all
Chris.
Right. Take it easy.
All right, next we go to John in Pacific Grove. Hey, John.
Hey, Peter, really like your show.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you called.
Listen to it every day. You know, I was really interested in that insurance commissioner's response. There's a lot of mayors that are endorsing this insurance perspective on this thing. The mayor of Ukiah, Davis, Dixon, Vacaville, Chico, Eureka, Capitola.
Mm-hmm.
Are these all Gallo on the payroll? Or?
Don't know the answer to that, but it is an interesting question. You know, mayors of small communities are not the same as, say, you know, Jerry Brown, mayor of Oakland, or, you know, Antonio Villaraigosa, the mayor of Los Angeles. They are council members who get the ceremonial title on a rotating basis.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I don't mean to impugn, I don't know the mayor of Capitola, and he or she may be an upstanding person who has, you know, participated in this freely. But my point is that the cost of winning the support of a city council member who is the ceremonial mayor for a year, it's chump change for an insurance company.
Yeah, you know, I know you're up in Humboldt, too. There's this thing they, as part of their support group, they also list the Humboldt Taxpayers League. You know, the problem I have is all this stuff's so confusing, you never know who to believe.
Right.
You know, it's not readily identifiable as being an insurance-sponsored flyer.
Right. Well, you know what I do, John, when that stuff comes in the mail? It goes directly into recycling. I actually do read some of it just out of curiosity. But I don't vote in any way based on what I see in a mail device that comes to the home. And even though I have produced many radio and television commercials for political campaigns, personally, I don't pay those any attention either.
Yeah, it's really confusing. But I just want to let you know, you guys are doing a great job. It's great to have a local show. You know, really enjoy it.
All right. Well, thanks for checking in, John.
Yeah, thanks for being
good
there.
To hear from you today. And next, right down the street in Pacific Grove, we've got Marianne. Hi, Marianne.
Hello. Good afternoon.
How's it going?
Well, I treated myself to opening my ballot thing yesterday because I vote absentee.
Uh-huh.
And it was my birthday, so that was my birthday present to me to vote. And I found out because I am declined to state that I didn't have the gubernatorial stuff included, and I got on the phone, and they said, yes, I can get that. Today was the last day to get it in the mail, but I do have to declare a party for that.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I am a declined to state voter myself.
Yeah.
But I always go to the polls, so I've never encountered this.
Well, this was new to me, and I said, you know, how long have you guys been doing this? I got onto a couple of good bureaucrats instead of bad ones, and they said it was just this election. And I thought, oh, okay, you know. So I
No. Straighten me out on that. Why is it just this election?
I don't know. We were talking fast, and I was glad to get somebody, and I do have an 800 number that, oddly enough, the first time I dialed it, they did that, you know, if you speak English, press 1, and, you know, 10 choices.
Mm-hmm.
I dialed it again, and I got a voice, a human.
Yeah.
And I said, where do I go? What do I do? And they said, okay, today is the last day. We will send you one, but you have to declare a party on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, great, make me a Democrat today.
Okay. And for your birthday.
Oh, that was yesterday. That was my birthday present to me. I always try to do something useful on my birthday rather than sit around and wait for cakes.
Yeah,
know?
Good.
Anyhow, they also suggested, and this is for everybody, at this late date, go up to your precinct and drop it in the slot yourself.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's a good idea. An absentee has the right to do that.
Oh, yeah, I've done that before. I've always had absentee votes because I move around in my job so much.
Uh-huh.
I never know where I'm going to be.
Great. Marianne, I got to jump here. Thanks.
You got it.
Thanks for your call. Happy birthday to you and happy
okay.
balloting.
You too.
Your calls and comments are next. Call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. It's the Free Speech Zone.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Every business has a black and white copier.
Yet color packs more punch, demands more attention, and projects a more powerful image.
The Sharp MX Series Multifunctional Products.
Advanced color document systems that not only copy, print, scan, and fax, but also feature high-quality printing in both color and black and white from the same MFP.
All for a surprisingly low total cost of ownership. And with Sharp's advanced image stabilization and microfine toner technology,
the MX Series produces ultra-vivid documents and extraordinary color image quality, page after page.
Sharp's MX Series.
Workgroup document systems designed to provide exceptional performance and productivity day after day, in-house for less money.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on here in the Free Speech Zone. All my lines are open right now, and I'm dying to know if you are undecided for Tuesday's Democratic primary. You can't pick Wesley or Angelitas. I'd like to hear what your deliberations are and what the questions are that you're wrestling with. One-third of those responding to polls say they have not yet decided. This is quite unusual just a few days before pretty well-known primary election. And these two guys, Angelitas and Wesley, have been in state government for at least 4 years in Wesley's case and longer in Angelitas' case. And so they're relatively known quantities, yet many Democrats feel unsure or uncertain about them. So I really would like to hear from you if you're having a hard time with that, and you can air out what your concerns are and what your pros and cons are of each candidate. 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast. That's a local call. 831-899-5792. Or toll-free from Eureka or anywhere else you happen to be listening, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. A lot of interesting guests on the program today. We talked to Carl Conetta about the situation in Afghanistan and that bizarre event in Kabul on Sunday where an American convoy went, it went sideways. And they claim it was an accident, and I have no reason to dispute that. But a big truck went up on a sidewalk, rammed a bunch of cars. It produced riots. A total of 14 people died. And it's just another legacy of a failed invasion and failed occupation. We also had a fascinating conversation with Jeffrey Feldman about the framing of language, about Condoleezza Rice's speech earlier today, where she used the word regime repeatedly to refer to the government in Tehran. And it suggests to Feldman and to me that this language is chosen explicitly and intentionally as a way of trying to heighten tensions between Americans and Iranians and pave the way for military action if that becomes viable. And I say viable in quotes from the point of view of the Bush administration. I think it's madhouse crazy to be thinking about attacking Iran in any way, shape, or form. But obviously I'm not in charge. We also had a great conversation with Matt Rothschild of The Progressive, and Larissa Alexandrovna brought us up to date on some librarians who have challenged the Patriot Act and its gag rules. So those are all things that we can talk about. But I'm most interested in hearing from undecided Democrats about next Tuesday's primary. And if you'd like to weigh in, I'd like to hear from you right now at 831-899-5792 or on the toll-free line, 888-579-2540. Interesting article in the May 29th issue of The New Yorker, written by Jeffrey Goldberg. And it's entitled Letter from Washington, The Democrats Think About Who Can Win in the Midterms and in 2008. And Goldberg here presents some very interesting perspectives on the Democratic Party. He starts off by profiling a woman in, her name is Claire McCaskill. She is the state auditor of the great state of Missouri. And she is running for the Senate seat, trying to defeat incumbent Republican Senator, I think it's Jim Talent. And they open with a story about 2004 when Senate candidate McCaskill was a candidate for governor in Missouri. And she went to a political appearance with John Kerry and Teresa Hines Kerry. And they went to a farm. And the discussion was about, Teresa Hines Kerry handed her husband a note, then stood up to speak, recalling a visit to an organic hog farm in Iowa. And she said it was really inspiring to see the work they did. It can be done. It's economical, and it's a huge market for America. Well, this turned out to be politically incorrect in Missouri. And one farmer stood up, a hog farmer from Clarence, Missouri, and he said, Mrs. Kerry, you got to understand that hog farmers just freak out when they hear people like you telling them to go organic. Well, this is a metaphor, or at least the statement of a theme in this article, about the various corners of the Democratic Party and how progressives like me and perhaps you often fight for a very left position for the Democratic Party. And the argument is that this makes the Democratic position untenable in large parts of this country, particularly in red states. And here are a couple of comments from the Goldberg article that I'd like you to react to, if you wish. Democrats have a set of policy prescriptions that they hope to enact if they win majorities in Congress, such as increasing the minimum wage, rolling back parts of the prescription drug law, and reinstating budget deficit controls. But they are only muddling toward a Gingrich-style contract with America, which, in its drama and clarity, gave 1994 voters an understanding of national Republican priorities. Even on the minimum wage, there's no consensus. Party moderates believe that a proposal to make college tuition tax-deductible would appeal to more voters than a promise to raise the minimum wage. As if policy differences weren't enough, the party's many spokesmen tend to speak disparately and concurrently, especially on matters of national security. Witness the confusion not long ago when Congressman John Murtha of Pennsylvania, a former Marine, called for an immediate pullout of troops from Iraq, leading to graceless scenes of Democratic leaders scrambling to embrace him and keep him distant, sometimes simultaneously. Rahm Emanuel, who worked in the Clinton White House, says that the collapse of Bush's support, recent polls put his approval rating in the high 20s, is not enough to propel the Democrats back to power. We still have to pick the lock here, he said, referring to the difficulty of unseating incumbents, especially in congressional districts that over the years have been gerrymandered into single-party redoubts. Some of his colleagues, however, do little to restrain their optimism. I'll tell you this. If the election were held today, we would win, Nancy Pelosi, the House Minority Leader, said. Pelosi appeared excited by the prospect of one specific consequence of a Democratic victory. We win in 06, we get subpoena power. Pelosi has said that the Democrats would reserve the right to investigate every aspect of the Bush administration, including its rationale for the Iraq War. Well, she's since modified those statements and pulled back from impeachment, but I'll at least go along with her on subpoena power and the value that that has. One more line here. Pelosi's vision of a subpoena-filled 2007 appeals to her party's most liberal supporters, but there is worry that such attack might alienate moderates, and there it would motivate otherwise dispirited Republicans to go to the polls. You know, if you spend your whole day trying to catch the dog that bit you because all you want to do is kick him, you're not going to win many friends. That's a quote from Brian Schweitzer, the moderate Democratic governor of Montana. So, I'd like to hear your thoughts about the tensions between the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, and I'd raise my hand and say that's where I would be. I'm not registered as a Democrat, but my views align much more with the Democratic Party than independents and certainly than Republicans. And my view is that we have to be cautious and somewhat sensitive about the moderates in the party who are attempting to win seats, win votes, by avoiding the most extreme positions of the party. I can handle that up to a point. But at a certain point, I believe that this kind of straddling, this kind of big tent that says, oh gosh, you know, the minimum wage is not that important. How about deductible college tuition? Well, I think progressives should stand for all of those things and not be choosy, you know, and saying, well, one poll's better than the other. And so my belief is that the Democratic Party would hurt itself if it became all progressive all the time. There are too many moderates and conservatives in the party to move that far that fast. But that said, I still believe it's very important to put out progressive messages, to embrace the more progressive wing of our party, and to try to bring the moderates and conservatives along. And I don't see that going on currently. We see pockets with the Marcy Winograd race against Jane Harman, the Ted Lamont race against Joe Lieberman. And these are encouraging signs. But we need to see a win from a Marcy Winograd or a Ted Lamont to really send that message and send it in a way that it will be heard. And in the meantime, it's a real challenge to progressives to try to come up with messages that honor our beliefs and values and at the same time don't cause moderate Democrats to lose their elective offices. And that is a little dance that is not ideal, doesn't fit our ideals. But I think that we have to consciously evaluate these things and make sure that in trying to improve the situation, we do not make it worse. So that's a long-winded way of describing this interesting article in The New Yorker. Now I'd like to hear from you. All the lines are open on the switchboard right now. You must have better things to do today, I understand. But take a moment out, grab your cell phone, give us a call, and talk about the race for governor in California or the larger struggle for the heart and soul of the Democratic Party. On the Central Coast, call me at 831-899-5792. That's 899-KRXA. And the toll-free line is open, too, at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540, right here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
There are are radio talk shows about sports, politics, money, sex, and religion. Now there's a talk show for parents and everyone else who cares for and about children. It's Childhood Matters, every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. here on KRXA 540. I'm the host, Rona Renner, the mother of four, a new grandmother, a nurse, and parent educator. Listen and call in Childhood Matters every Sunday from 9 to 10 here on KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creeklands, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
KRXA 540 takes one more look at your traffic situation this afternoon. Here's Amy Knight, Metro Traffic.
Well, Peter, we still have a few things to talk about. Southbound 1 at Soquel Drive, an earlier stall has been cleared out of the right lane, but northbound 1 at Porter Street, we still have an accident there with Highway Patrol on scene, and it looks like Caltrans crew is picking up those cones now, northbound 1 on the Emmeline Stream off-ramp. Looks like they were doing some tree trimming throughout the day, so better news for you there. Otherwise, 68 has been clear all afternoon long, no problems to report. On Highway 101, as you travel through Salinas, and Holman Highway checks in clear as well. This report brought to you by your Northern California Chevy dealer. Put a cap on gas prices. Go to fuelprotection.com to find out how you could pay only $1.99 a gallon for a full year. To learn about fuel efficiency, go to Price Protection Events. Ends July 15th. Actually, July 5th.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. A little vocalizing from Johnny Cash, with U2 as a backup band here.
I went out walking through streets paved with gold. Lifted some stones, saw the skin and bones of a city without a soul. I went out.
Never understood how he could get his voice to go all that low. Johnny Cash, an amazing guy. And I'm Peter B. Collins here. One more note from this article in the New Yorker about the struggle for the future of the Democratic Party. And this may not go down well, but I'll just pass it along to you anyway. This problem, the whole conflict between Democrats and progressives, would be surmountable if liberals outnumbered conservatives. But the liberal base of the Democratic Party, even fully mustered for battle, is too small to carry a Democrat to the presidency or even to many of the Senate seats being contested this year. The math is unforgiving. According to Jonathan Cowan, the president of Third Way, this is a DLC-funded centrist Democratic group. Exit polls consistently show that 21% of Americans self-identify as liberal and about 34% as conservative. A plurality, about 45%, identify as moderates. So this means that Democrats have got to pull almost two-thirds of moderate voters to be the majority party. And that's sobering, but I still put aside the statistics and say that at the end of the day, the Democrats need powerful messages that unite people and bring new blood, new voters to the party. And they're not all going to come from the moderate pool. But some of those moderates can be persuaded to move a little to the left. And I don't think we should give up on that and say, well, you know, we have to become the party of, the number two corporate party as a way to survive. I don't think that is viable. Back to your calls now, and there's room for you to join us, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free 888-579-2540. John's on from Humboldt. Hi, John.
Hey there, Peter. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good, good. I couldn't resist the call to try to save the soul of the Democratic Party, and I just wanted to chime in about William Jefferson way down in Louisiana. And I'm you know, of course, concerned, as a lot of people are, about the separation of power, and, you know, it's, I wouldn't want to see, you know, abuse in any area of that. You know, that being what it is, I still want to see, political figures held accountable regardless of which party they belong to.
Yep.
And as this guy, in fact, did pocket $90,000, I thought this game's, thrown away for quite a while. And I'm a left leaning Democrat here.
Sure, John. Corruption is corruption, and if it comes from Dollar Bill Jefferson, who happens to be a Democrat, or Alan Mollahan of West Virginia, who's a Democrat, or John Doolittle or Bob Ney, they're both Republicans. Let the chips fall wherever they may. And I have no need to defend Dollar Bill Jefferson. And at the same time, I am curious to hear his other side of the story that he talks about. It must be a whopper.
It's going to be amazing, if he's actually able to come up with something that has any level of, credibility, in the face of, I guess, videotape and surveillance of him, stashing this money. The fact that Pelosi, effectively cut him loose from the body of the Democrats, I thought, said a lot for her. But after reading and hearing, the tone of voice she had, I think it was rather reluctant that she, with a reluctant heart, that she actually did that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Democrats, basically what I'm trying to say, I think the Democrats in power are out to, shelter other Democrats. And I don't appreciate that. I don't like that. I want them to all be stand up enough to, to out the people who are doing harm to the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Well, and also, I will say this, and it's probably offensive to certain people, or at least not politically correct, but what is sorry to see or kind of distasteful is that the pressure on Pelosi not to speak out against Jefferson and not to ask him to resign from the Appropriations Committee was coming from the Congressional Black Caucus. And likewise, African-American elected leaders need to stand as individuals and not, gather as a group to protect somebody who clearly deserves to be investigated, if not convicted.
I completely agree with that. If a person is guilty of something, it doesn't matter what organization or affiliation they have, left, right, whatever. We just need to get out of them. It's kind of like there's no, good cops and bad cops. There's cops and then there's crooks, It's like you just need to weed out the people that are, ruining the system.
Yep, I agree with that. And
I appreciate it, Peter.
Also, I think it's fair to say that Bill Jefferson is a product of Louisiana politics. And things in the Big Easy have always been big and easy and not very clean.
Yep.
All right. John, who are you going to vote for governor?
I'm going to go Angelitas. I think that I don't know enough about Wesley to go against the Democratic as a Democratic, idea that he's going to do a good job.
The party endorsements, you mean?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that does hold some sway for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I could be more educated. You know. About all the races and whatnot, but I feel comfortable with Angelitas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Well, thanks for your call. Good to talk to you today.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, that's John in Humboldt. Your call can be next. There's still room for another caller or two before we head out the door this evening, so get on the line if you'd like. 831-899-5792, toll free 1-888-579-2540. Interesting Supreme Court ruling was announced yesterday. And for me, it's an interesting definition of the new Roberts Court. And it's not good news. The Supreme Court ruled on Tuesday the Constitution does not protect public employees against retaliation by their supervisors for anything they say in the course of performing their assigned duties. This has to do with government employees who find wrongdoing and wish to become what we now call a whistleblower. And in this case, the majority was formed by Roberts, Scalia, Alito, Thomas, and Justice Kennedy, who wrote the decision. He's kind of a swing voter who swings a little conservative. The case originated from an attorney who worked in a local district attorney's office in Los Angeles. He was an assistant prosecutor. His name is Richard Sabellos, and he claimed that he was the victim of retaliation because he complained about a search warrant and the way it was issued. In his lawsuit, he claimed he was given an unwelcome transfer, was denied a promotion after taking several steps to complain about the apparent unreliability of an affidavit that had provided the basis for a search warrant in a case the office was prosecuting. So he felt that the law was not being followed, and he blew the whistle. And in retaliation, they transferred him to, East Bum. Oh, we can't say that on the radio. And he claims he was denied a promotion. Well, this concerns me greatly, because there are many potential whistleblowers in our government right now who would like to blow the whistle on things much more significant and constitutionally important than what was probably an important issue at the time for Mr. Sabellos at the Los Angeles office of the district attorney. And I am concerned that this Supreme Court decision will have a chilling effect, and that employees of the government who see wrongdoing and want to expose it will say, huh, Supreme Court's not on my side. I could lose my job. I could be transferred to Truckee and never be heard of again. So this is just another loss of liberty under the Bush watch. Another reason why I think we should seriously consider accountability. First Cheney, then Bush. Neil Young has it here. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Join us again tomorrow, same time, same station, and we'll talk with you then. Tom Hayden among our guests on the program tomorrow.
He's not just another gardener in another garden.
Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creek plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The Bush administration agrees to join direct talks with Iran on a better future, provided it turn away from pursuing nuclear weapons.
I believe this problem can be solved diplomatically, and I'm going to give it every effort to do so.
CBS's Tom Foti.
The Bush administration has given Iran a two-point message on nuclear weapons, delivered by the president himself.
Our message to the Iranians is that, one, you won't have a weapon, and two, that you must verifiably suspend any programs, at which point we will come to the negotiating table to work on a way forward.
If that happens, it would be the first direct U.S.-Iranian contacts in more than a quarter of a century since the seizure of the U.S. embassy and the hostage-taking there in 1979. Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld on the investigation into whatever happened with U.S. Marines at Haditha.
There's two investigations going on. One is to determine what happened, and the second is to determine what happened after whatever happened.
As pieced together by investigators, the Marine patrol was hit by a roadside bomb. One Marine was killed and two wounded. The Marines ordered an approaching taxi to stop, suspecting it had played a role in the bombing. When four men got out, the sergeant in charge dropped to one knee and fired. It is not clear if he gave orders to kill or simply set an example. But other Marines opened fire and then cleared nearby houses. It went on for 5 hours, and part of it was captured on video by another Marine unit in the area.
CBS News correspondent David Martin. You can bet the bean counters at the IRS are really, really glad. Really glad that General Electric decided to go with e-filing this year. The GE tax return was 24,000 pages long. Since it was e-filed, it goes from one computer right to the other. Had it been delivered on paper, however, it would have made a stack 8 feet tall. In addition to the members of the family in Indonesia who were infected by bird flu, there were 54 others in the family who are not sick. CBS News reporter Stephen Flay says they are now in quarantine.
Reports coming from the World Health Organization say that 52 people are in quarantine in the worst affected bird flu area of Indonesia. Now, that's on the island of Sumatra, well away from Java, where we're reporting, but here in Bandung.